From the studios of Dublin City FM and in podcast all around the world, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Ireland's best podcast for 2012 and also Ireland's only garden radio show, The Sod Show. Well, I bet you wonder how I knew.
From the studios of Dublin City FM, on FM Fridays at 3 p.m. and anytime worldwide in podcast, it's Dublin's only garden radio show, in association with greensacks.ie, compostable bags for home and garden. This is The Sod Show, Fridays 3 p.m. right here on Dublin City FM.
Yes, and welcome to another dose of your greeny, gardeny goodness brought to you in association with the wonderful gentlemen and ladies of greensacks.ie. That's sacks with an X, wouldn't you know? Compostable bags for home and garden. On this week's show, here's one for you. In January 2010, I did a poll, Daddy, a blog post that contained a poll in which you could vote online. And I asked a question, trade associations for garden-related firms. Question A, or option A, wouldn't know the name of one off the top of my head. B, didn't even know they existed. C, best price please, couldn't care less or more. Or D, wouldn't hire or buy unless one was a member. 3.45% of you took the latter, just as a by the way. Now, cue 2013 and the turn of February. And what you have, in short, is a conversation that took place between at Woodgrow Horticulture on Twitter, and he asked the Royal Horticultural Society, the oldest gardening-related society in the world, that I am aware in brackets, the question. Sadly, horticulture isn't a cool career for youngsters, but why? Now, the Royal Horticultural Society replied, and they said, quote, 80% of under 25s are not interested in a career in horticulture, yet horticulture is the happiest career. And sometime in and around about that, the conversation took place in an entirely separate entity between myself and a few people that might be considered plant scientists or biologists or chemists of the plant photosynthetic world. Because in reality, when people think of horticulture, you generally get this. Now, on the other side of it, you're listening to a guy who used to grow plants under his bed and spend his pocket money on compost that got handlebarred across my grifter and spent on bulbs that I grew in the bottom of lemonade bottles at 6 years of age. And in my head, when I hear horticulture or plants or botany or gardening, I kind of get more of a this. Now, on the one hand, and being mildly frank about it, I did offer to everybody else who I had spoke with about this an opportunity, you might say. I don't mean that in a, well, I'm up here and you're down there kind of a way, but a chance to come on air and say, well, look, why can't plant science, the study of plants or the landscaping or the placing or any involvement in it, why can't it be a little bit more Procol Harum? Why cannot it be all things sexy? Why cannot it be exciting and rock and roll and all of those things that I had when I had my long hair and I was in college and I was still growing plants under my bed? Song of the Week, as it by the way, was released the year I went to college. And don't forget, if you want to get in touch or give us your feedback, your trinkets, or even your thoughts on today's show, you can, of course, find this, the show notes, the links and the contact details on sodshow.com. We are at sodshow on Twitter, and we are also on facebook.com/ the sodshow. I think you're going to enjoy this one, and you could not ask for a better voice than this lady. Ladies and gentlemen, Enjoy.
So I'm Claire O'Connell. I'm a journalist, but I have a background in science. I studied botany and I did a PhD in cell biology after that. But I think just having the background in science is really helpful, and particularly having the background in botany, it just gives you a new view on plants.
Part of the reason why we ended up meeting Claire was a perchance conversation online on Twitter where, how do we say it, in short, the suggestion was that how do you make botany, the study of plants, what, sexy, is that the wrong word or the right word?
Well, I think just more interesting for people. And I think probably step one is to lose the term botany, because I just think calling it something like plant sciences is probably more instructive of what it's actually about. Because even when I studied botany, now it was back in the dark ages. I mean, we're talking sort of late 80s, early 90s here. It was called the botany department. And in a way, I felt that really didn't describe what I was learning, because I was really just getting an excellent overview of biology and life and all sorts of techniques, like things like we were learning about molecular genetics, we were learning about DNA, and we were learning about fungi and ecology and biotechnology and things. It wasn't just botany, I think, probably conjures up images of people going out and collecting ferns, which is great if you want to collect ferns, but there's so much more to it than that.
Do you think back to the days of yesteryear, going back, let's say, 100, 150 years ago, when you couldn't study botany, but you were regarded maybe as a botanist, but there was no real qualification? And was it kind of more an apprenticeship? Is it a case, you might say, of history repeats itself in trying to make it attractive? Or is it something that sounds maybe to the avant-garde should only apply?
Certainly it's not just for the avant-garde, definitely not. I mean, botany is plant sciences are such an important part of understanding the planet we live in and understanding science. And I think plants do so much that's just really cool. And quite often they're doing it quietly in the corner and we just ignore them because, you know, they're not moving around. They're not animals. They don't seem that relevant. But actually there are a lot of things that happened in plants first, or that were discovered in plants first, and only later then became important in stuff that's more, maybe a little more relevant to human health. For instance, there's a whole area called RNA interference in cell biology, which is basically a way of controlling how genes are turned on and off. And this was seen in plants a long time before anybody copped on that it actually happens in animal cells too. And in the last maybe 10 or 15 years, that's become a huge area of research. But plants were doing it all along.
There's a funny thing, maybe it's not that funny, but we're in the old Albert College Park. Do you know the history behind it?
Vaguely, yeah. I think back in the 19th century, it was kind of a hub of activity for agriculture here. There was Glasnevin Model Farm, and then it became UCD's Faculty of Agriculture. And it eventually became part of DCU, but it has a long history, I think, of agricultural research. And I think there was a fair bit of research done on Phytophthora, which is the fungus that caused the potato famine, you know, the blight. I think there were some fairly important breakthroughs made here on that.
One of the things that seems to have come out of all of this kind of botany, non-sexy, change the name, make it more attractive, is the next generation of, I suppose, CSI plant pathologists coming through the ranks. Is there a bit where that should change or has to change? Is it a bit, as we discussed maybe before we turned on microphone, of making classical music interesting? Is that a bad analogy?
I don't think it's a bad analogy at all. I think a lot of people have a fixed notion of botany being about, you know, the Latin names and classification and things like that. But it's so much wider than that, and I think people need to appreciate that that plant science and research into plant science is so important. And there is actually a lot of it going on in Ireland at the moment. I've covered a couple of stories on it recently enough. There's one project that's actually going on in Trinity at the moment that has to do with immunology or biochemistry, which you would think has more of a medical slant, but what they're doing is they're tying in with researchers in Europe and Brazil. And what they're doing is they're looking in an area of Brazil called the Cerrado, which is it's huge. It's a huge area. It's separate from the Amazon. And it has quite a particular flora. But there seems to be a lot of local knowledge there about what plants are used to treat particular diseases. So they're going along and they're trying to figure out, well, what plants are they using to treat inflammatory disease? And could we look at these plants and see, are there compounds in here that could be useful for treating inflammatory diseases all around the world? So I think that one's pretty interesting.
That's a far cry from somebody going out and pruning a hedge to an extent. And I think it's, again, I'm not being smart on this one, but I know when people say to me, what do you do for a living? And I think the answer I tend to give is, well, I studied horticulture, because I'm unsure of how to categorize myself. But it's, is it a case of that you, how would you say, you do your leaving cert, what happens next? I mean, I studied commercial horticulture. I know it's amenity horticulture in the botanic gardens. What you're kind of saying is, to the left, it's very much the CSI Miami kind of a kind of a thing, is it?
Yeah, well, I think if you study plants, okay, whether it be horticulture or botany, for want of a better word, plant sciences, I think it probably gives you a good grounding to go on and do plenty of other things as well. As I say, plants are such an integral part of our lives. You know, we can't breathe without the oxygen they produce. We can't eat without the food they produce. Without them, we wouldn't be alive. So they do feed into so many aspects of what we do. I think if you have an understanding of plants, it's going to stand to you wherever you go, really.
Where did your studies bring you after your Leaving Cert, and how did you make that call? What was it that attracted you into it? Was it your parents? Was it a neighbour, relation? How did it all work out?
Well, what happened was, I actually went to an open day in UCD. I was in sixth year at the time, I think, in school, and I went to an open day, and I was so impressed by the botany department, and what they were doing was so cutting edge in terms of molecular biology. A lot of, Even as a Leaving Cert student, I could see that. I could see, wow, these guys just seem totally different to a lot of the other departments I've been to. And I said, okay, I'm going to go for it. And I went and I did my degree there for 4 years. After that, I actually moved more into studying animal systems. So I was looking at epithelial biology is the name of it. It was more cell biology. And then I went on, did a couple of postdocs, became a technical writer, and then eventually became a science journalist. So yeah, you can go pretty much anywhere.
Do you find, and like this may get on people's nerves, but when I was growing up, we always knew that neighbour on the road that had the pristine roses, and the gardens were pristine, and there was water, well, old lemonade bottles of water in them sitting on the lawn, which I still to this day will never fully understand. But, you know, it was one of them that made me look at gardening and not entirely like what I saw. Equally, on the other hand, I remember talking to a park ranger once, and he was saying to me that the as he called it, dog trails through the lawns, worn paths from people walking on them, and he was saying that he loved to see this because he knew that the parks are being used, but he also knew the people who hated to see it because he believed that people shouldn't, you know, maybe walk on the lawns, they were only for looking at, again, a la the old War Memorial Park coming back 50 years ago. Is there a bit of that in today's world? Will that ever change? Will I become that person who I didn't like when I was 12 years of age, kicking a ball off her wall and off her roses and knocking her hedge to smithereens? Is it a bit of that?
No, I think definitely gardens are amenities that are there to be used. I mean, they're there to be enjoyed no matter how you want to enjoy them. I mean, I'm the parent of two children now, and our garden is full of footballs. I have to go out and weed the footballs, never mind the plants. We also have a vegetable patch, and my husband and the kids grow vegetables there, and they get to, that is fantastic for them because they get to see where the food is coming from. It doesn't just come from the supermarket shelf. You know, they actually see it growing in the garden. You can do so much in a garden with a bit of an imagination if you just want to get your hands on. Definitely, I don't think gardens are there just to be looked at, no.
It's freezing here in Albert College Park. We're going to go for a song of the week. I don't know, I might get a cup of tea, sit in the Jeep, and we'll see you in part two. Take care. Talk to you soon.
Oh, choose and I'll sing the blues if I want.
And welcome back to part two of the Sod Show, brought to you in association with greensax.ie, compostable bags for home and garden. Claire, still in my company. Claire, one of the stories you mentioned on was heading towards the Brazil side of things.
Yeah, that's a really interesting study being carried out by Dr. Jennifer McElwain at University College Dublin. She has this fabulous facility where she has these growth chambers, and I call them, they're like time travel machines for plants. What she does is within each chamber, she recreates the atmospheric conditions from various time points millions of years ago, around the time maybe that there were big extinctions in the Earth's history. And she can also create what might be expected due to climate change over the next, you know, 50-100 years as well, grow plants under these conditions and see how they respond. So she is getting a better picture of the kind of adaptations that plants have to deal with in climate change and see what works, what doesn't work. It's a really fascinating kind of series of pods with all these plants growing in them. It's amazing. You can actually walk into these chambers and sample the plants or see how they're doing, you know. It's fantastic.
I've got a picture of Mary McGinnity, pardon me Mary, you get an awful time off me, but with a polythene tunnel at home, trying to put a kettle into it, close the door tightly, seal it up with a few tea towels and see if it does the same thing. Is it that kind of a Mork and Mindy space age egg opens kind of a picture? Am I far off the mark?
No, these are literally chambers that you can walk into. It's all very scientifically done and very closely controlled. And she'll control things like the atmospheric gases that the plants are being exposed to, things like carbon dioxide, and she sees how they respond. It's really interesting work. Because it ties in with climate change and plant adaptation, just trying to understand the basic processes that are involved. And I think it's a really elegant way of doing it.
Being journalist, Irish Times, the stuff that you do, I would find that quite unique, intriguing, interesting, different, not everyday story that you would come across. How would you describe yourself? You're not a...
Well, no, I'm definitely not a horticulturist, definitely not. I was a botanist at one stage in that I studied it, but as I say, that was so long ago. But what I still bring from it is the basic scientific training. Mm-hmm. I think that's really... I describe myself as a science writer at the moment. That's my current phase in life.
So based on that, I'm gathering, and obviously the suggestion that the grass was grown up around the footballs, is it more of a case that I would be inclined to find stuff in your fridge in a bell jar? Is there a little bit of that maybe about you? Do you still dabble in it?
No, I don't, no. I do recall when I was an undergrad having to bring an experiment to Paris because I was growing bean sprouts in a petri dish or something, you know. And I remember sharing a hotel room with my sister because we were over at a family event. And I remember taking out the ruler and measuring them and her just looking at me and going, how do you have any friends? You know, no, I don't do that kind of stuff anymore.
You find gardeners talk to themselves sometimes that they're a bit nutty? Do you find people who love plants are a little bit, you know, my grandmother used to say to me, you know, if you talk to them, they'll grow better. And I always tried to figure out if there was some kind of scientific reasoning maybe behind that. Were you one of those that queried it, that put it into a calculator and pressed the square root button? Or did you just find yourself talking to yourself amongst all of these bean sprout petri dish kind of things?
I don't know. I can't remember what I used to say to the bean sprouts. I'm afraid it was a long time ago. Yeah, no, I love when people love plants. Okay, I think generally, this is totally showing my bias now, but I think plants are cool. Part of the reason why I think I really like them is that I I did a lot of looking down a microscope when I was a scientist. And when you look down a microscope, you see all sorts of wonderful things. And you see very big differences between plants and animals at this cellular level. And part of the reason is that plants have a very distinct cell wall around them, which animal cells don't. And it gives them a really clean, structured appearance. And they have, I suppose it's, you know, plants can't run away from things. So they have to be a certain way. And they have to have very specific structures to be that way. And when you look at it under a microscope, it's just absolutely beautiful. And it's such a privilege to see those things. And you're looking at me now like I've just gone a bit crazy. But no, it's absolutely true. It just gives you a different perspective on life.
Pop quiz round here. If I gave you a pen and a piece of paper, would you be able to draw the cell structure of a plant?
Probably, yeah, still.
Do you remember the scientific equation for photosynthesis?
Not off the top of my head. So there was C3 and C4 and stuff like that. No, but no. But actually, there's the thing now. Speaking of photosynthesis, there's something that plants do all the time. They happily split water all the time as part of photosynthesis, right? And that's something that scientists are trying to figure out how to do now in an artificial way. Because if you split water, you release hydrogen, which is a fuel. And that would be an extremely clean source of energy for transport or whatever. But it's extremely difficult to do. But plants have just been doing it for millions of years.
Sometimes I meet people who talk so infectiously about something that they love. You're laughing here. And the last time I came across this was Matthew Jebb in the Botanic Gardens. And it was very, very surprising to, meet somebody who I expected, sorry Matthew if you're listening to this, but to wear a smoking jacket and have a pipe and be listening to Richard Clayderman on a Saturday afternoon, you know, pruning roses with a man from Del Monte kind of a hat on. You're far from one of them. In fact, we've matching leather jackets on today.
We do. We're like bikers here. And they're not keeping the cold out.
are there people that you would like to see as the face of horticulture /botany/, or is it a case of, and not knocking anybody here, but there is very much, when I talk to, I'm still young, but people younger than me, and they say, no, there is an air or a grace that sometimes comes with using elongated, long botanical Latin names. Should the faces of horticulture change, or is that always going to be something that, you know, you just work through and then you find the intriguing people, like I say myself, yourself, Matthew, etc., kind of just plod along and do their own thing?
Well, in terms of Latin names, I don't think we ever need to use Latin names outside of academic circles, frankly. I think they just probably, you know, confuse things. I suppose, are you asking, is there a need for more celebrity botanists, for want of a better word?
Yeah, well, I mean, you've got what Professor Brian Cox is doing and Dara O'Brien is in the science circles. That's fairly hot at this moment in time. It's about as hot as Leinster rugby for people who 4 years ago didn't know one end of a hurling stick from an oval-shaped ball, as far as I would be concerned. That's not knocking anybody, but it has kind of become fashionable. Is that correct?
Like, you obviously have gardeners on the TV, you know, I mean, that's always very popular.
Carol Klein. Monty Don.
Exactly.
Alan Titchmarsh.
That's always been popular. In terms of the more scientific end, yeah, I don't think there aren't that many celebrity scientists in Ireland at the moment. Definitely not. Hopefully we'll get a few. But in the meantime, I think that it's really encouraging to go to something like the Young Scientists Exhibition. And you see this year that the project that won, the project from Cork that won, was about botany. It was about a symbiotic bacterium, a bacterium that likes to hang out with a plant. And how does that affect how the plant germinates? You know,
hang out with a plant. Do you want to go to the mangoes?
Well, so it's fantastic to see that these students, these secondary school students are so interested in science in general, plants in particular, and they won the competition. Fantastic.
And Ireland's best podcast for 2012.
Absolutely, that too. Let's not forget that one.
It was one about horticulture. If people want to read your pieces in the Irish Times, tell me, where do they go? How do they get it? Where can they find it?
Best thing to do is to either buy the Irish Times, I'm not in it every day though, or go to the Irish Times website, and you can see my pieces popping up every so often there.
Are you on the Twitter thing?
I am on Twitter. I'm Claire O'Connell, all one word, on Twitter.
That's C-L-A-I-R-E, Claire O'Connell, all one word. Claire O'Connell, thank you so much for your time. You're an absolute legend.
Thanks, Peter.
And that's all we have time for this week. Big thanks to our sponsors, greensacks.ie, compostable bags for home and garden, Claire O'Connell, journalist correspondent with the Irish Times, and all around lovely lady. To you at home for listening. You'll find this, all the show notes, etc., and a lovely picture of Claire up on sodshow.com. Any feedback at sodshow or facebook.com/thesodshow. See you this time next week, 3 p.m. Friday, or on iTunes. Bye for now.
From the studios of Dublin City FM, on FM Fridays at 3 p.m. and anytime worldwide in podcast, it's Dublin's only garden radio show in association with greensacks.ie, compostable bags for home and garden. This is The Sod Show, Fridays 3 p.m. right here on Dublin City FM.